Well, a few further verses are sung. The communicants will take their places at the first of two tables. Singing from verse 7. O thou, my soul, do thou return unto thy quiet rest, for largely, lo, the Lord to thee his bounty hath expressed. For my distressed soul from death delivered was by thee. Thou didst my mourning eyes from tears, my feet from falling free. From verse 7 until you see the first number of communicants have taken their places at the table. O thou, my soul, do thou return unto thy quiet rest. Authority for this part of the service. As you have that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and at verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. May the Lord bless his word, and let us give thanks according to his example. O Lord, we adhere before thee in this particular way. Make us thankful for the opportunity. And do thou meet with us. May we take the symbols of the Saviour's broken body and shed blood with some understanding of their significance, in that we would discern the Lord's body as what is symbolized in the bread and the wine, the Lord's body as in where he suffered, what he suffered in, then, and pointing to the sufferings and the death which he endured. And may we see the significance of the blood that was shed, and all for the salvation of sinners. Oh, encourage thy children. May they give thanks for what thou hast done for them, what Christ has done for them, and what the Holy Spirit for Christ's sake has done within them, that they have been drawn by thine almighty power and brought to thyself. Take care of them as they go their way through this world. When they leave this table, when they leave the building, when the communion season comes to an end, grant that thou wouldst go with them, that thou wouldst not leave them, nor forsake them. And that is thy promise. Give them to see that as connected with this ordinance, that it is giving them every encouragement to believe that the promises of Scripture are for them, and that thou art making sure to them what is sure in itself, that the Saviour will never leave or forsake those who are his people. Grant thy blessing upon us. Purify our hearts. Forgive our sin. Turn us more and more from our own ways. And that we would be seeking to follow Jesus. That we would be given grace to follow Jesus. Give us true thankfulness of heart for the ordinance here. Give us grace to enter into the spirit of proper thanks. The Saviour gave thanks. Oh Lord, may we give thanks that we would get grace. Ah, may we realize that there is a supply of grace for every time of need. Even in connection just now with our need to give thanks, may we get grace to give thanks, and may we get grace to enter into the spirit of the ordinance and to be receiving Christ. Christ is shown forth in the broken bread and the poured out wine. Ah, Lord, may we see what is implied in his body being broken and his sufferings for sin in the place of sinners. What is involved in the blood being poured out, and what is involved in a sinner receiving Christ. And oh, may it not be only the outwardness of the ordinance that we would have today, but spiritual activity on the part of believers in receiving Christ. Bless us, pardon us, and care for us, and give us true thankfulness. And that they're set apart from a common to a holy use, the part of the bread and wine that will be used on this occasion for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, the Lord has brought you to his table, and he is speaking to you. And there is so much in the Word of God that let us just focus to some extent in these words of Paul to the Hebrews, which tell us of Christ, that he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Yes. Your Christ is speaking to you, and he is assuring you, within the context of this ordinance in particular, he is assuring you that he is able to save you to the uttermost. In a sense, perhaps we can say that he has saved you in part. It wouldn't be wise to say that with too full an application to everything. But what I'm trying to express is that the work of salvation is begun, and that word is used in connection with the good work. It has been begun. It's to go on. That's his promise. He which hath begun a good work shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's his promise. And his promises are sure. And his promises are sealed by the Lord's Supper. Think of that. It's a seal to you. The Lord's seal to you that whatever he is saying by way of promise just now, whatever he is saying by way of promise, it's sure. It's for you to take. It's for you to be sure about. It's for you to rest upon as the sure, holy, perfect word of God to you. He is able to save to the uttermost what he has begun. He brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light for the sake of Christ. He gave you grace to believe in him. Now you may not be able to go back and understand properly what exactly were the circumstances and when exactly that took place. You may be able better to think of what you see of grace in your soul, grace going out to Christ now. But that work is not finished. There's so much more that has to be done. Will he do it? Is that a question with you? Well, you have it in the verse that I quoted. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come into God through him. And what are you to look for then? Is it any different from what you looked to in the first place, or the one you looked to when you first came to Christ? No. Fundamentally, it's not different. You are part of the way, we might say, well, part of the way along the narrow road that leads to everlasting life. But you still need to be looking unto Jesus. You still need fresh exercises of faith. Faith in the one who died. Faith in the one who is on the throne. Faith on the one in particular just now. And these are not separate ideas. In a sense, they are, but they're all coming together. They're all interlocking. In the divine provision for sinners like you, they're all interlocking. And there's this, that Christ is making intercession. That's presenting the merits of his death, presenting the merits of his finished work. We were trying to say something about the infinite value of these merits. Christ is presenting these merits before the throne of God. That's his intercession. Presenting the merits of his finished work. And you are to be looking to him as set before you in the gospel, set before you as Emmanuel. Oh, be thinking of him as Emmanuel still. He's Jesus. And we might use the name without thinking as we should about the significance of the name. The one who came into the world to save sinners. were to be going back to that. But you see, the work has been that was done in this world by way of redemption, that's finished. But the work of Christ as the High Priest is going on. Where are you? And what do you feel? And what needs are uppermost in your mind? Well, whatever is may be different from one person to the next. You think of this. He is able to save to the uttermost, and he will save to the uttermost all who come into God through him. All who come into God through Christ as the mediator. All who come into God looking unto Jesus, looking unto Emmanuel, to use that other name. Looking unto Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Anointed as prophet and priest and king. Anointed as the intercessor. And he's going on with that work. And, you see, you are here at the Lord's table. You are to take the symbols of his broken body and shed blood. You are to think of him as the one who died. And oh, how wonderful it would be if you were enabled to think of him as the one who died for you specifically. Yes. And therefore, the one who will continue that work to the end. He will go on making intercession. Let us not miss out the word. Who will go on making continual intercession. You're never a moment without the intercession of Christ. There's never a moment that he is making intercession for you. It's a continual intercession. And therefore, the end will be this. You will be saved to the uttermost. But we will not keep from you the symbols of the Saviour's broken body and shed blood. Able to save to the uttermost, then. All that come unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth, to make intercession. And if it was true in this world, he, as the Saviour expressed himself, the Father heareth me always. Surely we can be sure about that when Christ has entered into heaven. It was sure in this world. Perhaps we shouldn't say it was doubly sure in heaven, but it is most certainly sure. The Father is here. You are saved. The moment a sinner puts his trust in Christ, he is saved. Not saved from danger. Not saved from the possibility of stumbling. But you see, fundamentally, the sinner is saved. Goodness and mercy will follow him all the days of his life, and he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's the work of Christ on his behalf in this world. That makes it sure. That lays a solid foundation. And you can think of the solid foundation that there is in the covenant of grace. It's eternal, you see. So it must be sure. Something eternal cannot be changed. There's a permanency about it. And the Lord is setting that before you. In the table. At the table. In the sacrament. You see, if there's one word that can be used to describe what is shown forth in the sacrament, It's sureness, certainty. People are crying out for certainty. And perhaps there's a wrong way that the children of God themselves can be looking for certainty. But there's certainty here that the Lord has entered into a covenant with you that is ordered in all things and sure, as David was saying. He was getting good views, large views of the covenant. There's a certainty about the covenant. There's a certainty about the promises. And there's this too. There's a certainty set before you in terms of the intercession of Christ. He is able to save to the uttermost. That's sure, that's certain. All that come into God through him, seeing he ever liveth, see the certainty. He cannot die. He cannot go away from his post, as it were. He's there. He's making continual intercession. He's making continual intercession for you. Can you receive that by faith? What the Lord is setting before you, so that you might receive. That's the response that there should be by God's grace. Oh, you might only say just now, God be merciful to me, a sinner. May I enter into these things? Yes, they're there to be entered into. They're there for your good. They're there for the strengthening of your soul as you go on your way through this world. You're to be looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. He began faith. That was in relation to his intercession. Of course, there's his work as prophet, there's his work as king, and I'm not going into that except to refer to it. But there's this, the continuation of his work as high priest in making intercession and present in an eternal, continuous way. Will we put it like that? Presenting before the Father in an eternal, continuous way the merits, the infinite merits of what he has done. Now you may think of great needs in this world, great needs. But you see, think of this. Make a correspondence between your needs and the infinite merits of Christ and the infinite merits of what he has done. And Christ presenting before the Father the infinite merits of what he has done. He is there. His very presence before the Father is an intercession. Well, you are to be looking unto Jesus in the way that he has revealed. You are to be taking him again and again as your Emmanuel, who is making continual intercession for you. And you will rise from the table with trust, his grace and exercise in your hearts, as his praise is upon your lips. And you will sing from Psalm 103 at verse 3, all thine iniquities who death most graciously forgive.